I greet all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you happy this morning?
Amen.
We appreciate the Lord for everything that he has done for us.
Amen.
And then I think as it has been announced, this would be our last service for 2020 until we are back in Jan on the 31st. Amen. It's going to be long, but it's for a good reason. Amen.
Amen.
Because we have to manage the spread of this virus. Amen.
Amen.
Then we encourage you to be careful even during the break. Amen.
Amen.
One thing for sure, you cannot replace the 7 years of medical training with a 30-minute YouTube video.
Amen.
You hear me?
Amen.
You can't just go on YouTube and get 30 minutes of video and think you know better than someone that has been in school for 7 years.
Amen.
Amen. So Brother Room says, we thank God for the doctors.
Amen.
How many thank God for the doctors?
Amen.
And he says God uses the doctors sometime, which I believe wholeheartedly. Amen. Now, let's do this for a second. Just give me a song, and then we'll start now. Amen. Brother Grace, if you can. I sent myself the notes, but I think I sent you. It, they just get something for me.
Thank you.
Well, bless you as we turn to the book of Isaiah 43, verse 1. Amen. Isaiah 43, verse 1. God bless you, Mama Suma. Good to see you. Amen. The mother to Brother Masuma. Amen. He's actually our mother. He raised me as well. Amen. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now saith the Lord that created thee. Are you here? Yeah. But now thou saith the Lord that created thee. O Jacob, and he that formed thee.
And he that formed thee.
O Israel,
fear not,
for I have redeemed thee.
I have called thee by thy name.
Thou art mine.
Isn't
it beautiful? He created you, formed you, redeemed you, called you by your name, and you are his. Amen. And therefore the Lord said, fear not. As we bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are reporting for duty. This morning, we appreciate all the songs of Zion that have been given unto thee. We pray, dear God, for this service. Undertake it for us as we commit everything to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. As light volume on the monitor. Amen. Just continue to pray for one another. As people are on the road, some have gone out of the country, and just keep on remembering them in prayer. But we are happy that until this far, we have not received any negative report. Amen. So believers leave one point to the next, and they reach their destination. That we cannot take it for granted, especially in this season. Amen. Now, I want to speak on the pandemic of fear. That's my message this morning. The pandemic of fear. Amen. Now, fear was there even before we got into this pandemic. We have always had a pandemic of fear right from the beginning. Amen. Brother Branham says one of the greatest hindrances of the church is fear. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Amen. The church is gripped by fear. And fear is the most powerful tool as well in the hands of politicians. That's how they control the masses. And then as well, it is a powerful tool even around the world. You go into psychologists, they tell you that politicians can use fear to mind control the people. And that is why, as we are going through this pandemic called COVID-19, a lot of people, some people are just suspicious, and rightly so, because there are people that are not, that have got no good intentions, that had never had good intentions, and would never have any good intentions. And those people are the ones that have become the ambassadors of whatever campaigns that are there, either on vaccine or on other things. So people are just suspicious, and you cannot blame them. Amen. I, for one, am suspicious of Bill Gates, but that's my own suspicion that I don't want you to share with me, but I am just suspicious of the fella. Amen. You may not say amen, but I'm suspicious of him. Amen. You may be admiring him as an IT guru, but I am persuaded, and I don't think Bill Gates has the right to be a voice of authority when it comes to medical matters. Amen.
We've got the computer there. It has its programs. We battle with viruses on computers. Now he wants to address the human viruses. I've got a problem with that. I've got no problem if he finances the programs of World Health Organizations. But for him to start speaking like a voice of authority without medical qualification, that I have a problem with it. Amen. I hope you are with me here. Amen. Is it that our Chief Justice had a problem with him, but because he does not know, does not have the revelation that we have, he thought that the vaccine will alter the DNA, but it's because he's coming from a position of suspicion. Amen. Because of what has happened over the years. Amen. Somebody cannot put you in slavery for 100 years and care about you overnight. Hallelujah. 100 years, a person has oppressed you economically, politically, and otherwise. And on the 900th year, you've got flu. He's worried about you. Amen. You have to be very cautious. Amen. And you know, we are living during a time where they think that we must not question anything. Hallelujah. But we will question everything. Because things that leaders have been doing are questionable. So therefore, they must be questioned. Amen. But while applying common sense and knowing that it is real, but how we respond to it is another debatable matter. Amen. Are you still with me here? Amen. I'm back with you if you are Bill Gates is your role model, but it's not mine. Amen. Now, let's come back to the word. Isaiah says, but now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Now, this already tells you the sequence of how you came into being. There was a creation, and there was a formation, and there was a redemption because of the calling, and now you are his. Amen. Amen. Remember in Genesis 1, we've often said the Lord created man in his own image after his own likeness. Yes. You still remember? And later on, Brother Branham, now, a lot of times I said, but that man that was created there, the Lord God, the Bible says he was created. And Brother Branham says, everything that was created has a beginning and has an end. Yes. Do you agree? Yes. Now, it used to bother me that because if it says the Lord created man in his own image after his own likeness, and creation has a beginning and has an end, does it mean that Genesis chapter 1, man has a beginning and shall have an end? But later, Brother Branham takes it further and says the creation that is there is not a creation in a sense that the creation that you see. He says that man rotated of God. Hallelujah. So it's not just a creation that has got a beginning. He rotated of. That means he is as God is. Are you still with me? He was not actually created. He rotated out of God. Are you still with me here? Then later we find that God formed a man. And after he formed a man, he took the man that rotated of him and put him into the formation. And after he put a man into the formation, then the formation fell. And after the formation fell, then there was a redemption to bring the formation back. Are you still with me? Back under the control of the one that rotated of God. And then that is how we were called by our names. Are you still with me? We were called by our names. And our names, Brother Bram says, God opens a mystery and a believer catches the mystery. And behind that mystery, there is your calling. Are you still with me? And then from that time, then you become his. Now, that is why we can say, fear not. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Fear not. Brother Brahman says in this message, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Paragraph 25, He says, and it seems to be in the Christian church today that the greatest hindrance that the Christian church has is fear. Amen. Just try at it now. Now, Christianity is not a try at. It's a no so. Something that is real. Are you still with me? Yes. Now, a lot of times, I think it was in the 80s, I think Mama Suma would remember, we had the likes of Ralo Kholela coming to Seshego, and they had revival meetings, and people were coming. They were saying they were banning the staff of the witches, and people came in numbers. And because the people during that time, they were not coming by revelation. They were coming because they were afraid of witches. Are you still with me? And later on, as they civilized and never became afraid of the witches, then they left the faith. Are you still? So you are not. You don't serve God because you are running away from a witch. Are you still with me? That is why I cannot bring you into the kingdom of God by preaching witchcraft to you. You will be scared for a season, but at some point in time, that fear will go away. And when that fear goes away, there you go away as well. But we are in this faith because God revealed himself to us. Are you still with me here? Now, we are not preaching a gospel. And even the people that you can say, you need to repent because hell, you're going to go to hell. People used to be afraid of hell, but people are not afraid anymore. People used to be afraid of death. People are not afraid of death anymore. I was coming from Middleburg. I saw a traffic cop that had stopped a hearse with a casket in the bag, and they were negotiating a bribery there. Then I was wondering that it does not even occur to them that one of them will be in the casket. It's because a person does not come to God because he fears death. A person comes to God because he's a child of God. Are you still with me? You came to him because that's who you are. And if you came to him on the basis of who you are, then nothing will ever change that. Even when circumstances change, they don't change who you are. Are you still with me? Now, he said the greatest hindrance today within the Christian community is fear. Ministers, and sometimes when a minister operates under fear, he preaches fear to his people. Because fear is pandemic and fear is contagious. Are you still with me? I remember in the early years before we came into the Pentecostal movement as a family, we once visited another church, the CC, for one Sunday. And we went there, Now, we went there for once as a family. But later on, a prophet told us that there is a black cat in the family. Now, after he said it's the black cat in the family, but we never saw it. But my problem was that I cannot operate in an environment where I'm always fearful. Are you still with me? We tried, even with the Sangoma, we once went and we never went back again. Because I don't understand, even if you go to a Sangoma, there will never be a time where the Sangoma tells you that from today you are delivered. And say you don't need to come anymore. Always when you come, you're always on the edge of death. Somebody is about to kill you. Something is about to go wrong. When is things going to go right? Because the Lord says, I have pleasant thoughts about you to bring you to an expected end. Are you still with me? The Lord wishes good things for us. All the churches I tried, even St. Jonah was there. Hallelujah. And I said, here we are. We tried all of them, even Pentecostal, we tried all of them. But the only time where we had an eternal settlement is when the message of the hour was introduced to us. Are you still with me? Because that time I realized I don't need a prophet to go with me 24 hours. I don't need a sangoma to go with me. And I don't even need a pastor to go with me. The Lord goeth with me 24/7. When we preach about other churches, you may say amen. But message churches are beginning to be like other churches. Are you still with me? Are you here? People are sleeping, and when they are sleeping, they put the pictures of their pastor there. Your pastor is a human being. Your pastor will die. But there is one that will never die. Oh, brethren, don't ever come to the point where you worship my picture. I'm a man. While you're worshiping at night and there is a trouble, I will be sleeping. And pleasantly so, and not being guilty, sleeping. Hallelujah. You need to find the one that will never sleep. You need to find the one that will be with you wherever you go. Are you still with me? The name of Pastor Madiba has got no power. Are you still with me? The name Branham does not have power. There is only one name that was given to the human race. That is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that name, demons will tremble. If you call my name, you will be hit hard by a demon. Say, Paul, I know, Madiba, I know, but who are you? And the demon will rip you apart. But when you come with that name, hallelujah, the name, that name has power. And you know, Brother Branham one time tried it where they put a table in suspense. And they say, bring it down. And he says, let me just make an experiment. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, table comes down. It never came down. But when he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the table came down. It was in suspense. It was the witches that put it in suspense. And say, if you are a man of God, bring it down. If you will meet a challenge. If you are a man of God, bring it down. He said, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, table come down. It remained there. And later he said, in the name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it's a channel of demons. Hallelujah. There is no power in that. Are you still with me? Now when he said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, table come down. It came down. All the four legs were broken. Because there is a power in that name. Sisters, are you here? When a child is sick in the middle of the night, you don't need to call a pastor. You can stand up and say, there is a name. And that name is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I declare healing upon my baby. And your baby will be restored back. Are you still with me here? Men worship. It's all over. Amen. Are you still with me? Redemption by power, paragraph 100. He says, I love that. After Jesus rose from the dead, his words were constantly, fear not. He says, that's what's the trouble with the church today. It's scared to death. It's scared to death you are going to make a failure. How can you fail when you are in Christ? How can you fail when you are in Christ? And Paul says, through Christ I can do all things. Are you still with me? He says, you can't fail. You've got everlasting life. All demons in hell can't shake you. Does it sink in? All demons in hell cannot shake you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Brethren, all demons. There are over, just recently from River Euphrates, the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, 200 million demons shall be released in addition to the already ones that are there. But all demons in hell will never shake a believer. Amen. Not a pastor, a believer. You know why we keep on saying you will? We want to empower you. Wherever you go, you must know I am divinely empowered. If a situation arises, I don't rely on a man, I rely on God.
Are you still with me? You've got a, Jesus said so, so don't be scared of failure. In the message, the unpardonable sin, paragraph 33, he says, think of it. No fear. That's the greatest plague there is in the Christian church today. People are scared. People are afraid. People are a nervous wreck because of fear. Is afraid. And the reason they are afraid is because they are not taught right. When the church begins to be afraid, the problem is not the people, the problem is in the teaching. What is being taught there? The moment you start being afraid in this church, the problem is with what we are teaching. Because if what we are teaching does not give you the spirit of boldness, but it gives you the spirit of fear, it means you are not preaching the right gospel. Amen. The right gospel does not instill fear in the people. It instills a boldness. Yes. Are you still with me here? Yes. It says, and the reason they are afraid is because they are not taught right, settled right on the gospel. Now, in the message, he saw by himself, paragraph 103, and it says, you are here to fulfill it too. Just walk unconscious of fear. That means a fear will be there, but you need to disregard it. Yes. Are you still with me? Yes. Have you ever seen somebody that is fearful? And fear is contagious. If you spend time with people that fear certain things, you end up fearing the very same things. And even boldness is contagious. If you spend time with the people that are bold, you end up being bold. Are you still with me? Courage is as contagious as fear is contagious. And when you speak and fellowship with a person longer, you will understand what they fear. Me, if there is one thing that I don't fear, is a witch. Amen. That one, is the, it ranks on the bottom of my list. Amen. And I, it's not that, even before I came into the message, I have never feared a witch. Right. I remember I visited my grandmother when I think I was 9, and I, for some reason, we found my book outside when we woke up. And they told me that you can't take this book. And that book I was doing very well. It was a history book. I mean, 100%, 95%. They say, don't use this book anymore. I said, no. How am I going to? I need to see my marks. They say, you'll go blind. I say, I won't go blind. I'm taking it. This is my, I didn't know the gospel. But now, after I know the gospel, then I'm even more bolder. And I need you to be bold. Are you still with me? And any time when my things don't go right, the witch is the last person that I think of. I always blame. Maybe I didn't make the right decisions. A witch has got no power over me. Are you still with me? I don't even spend time on those things. Amen. Even here at church, we've got no time for that. We had a false prophet that came here for one convention and he pulled me aside. He says, there are witches here. I say, yes, sir. Look, leave our witches alone. He was shocked. Yes, I said, leave our witches alone. They came here to hear the gospel. At least they came to the right place. You know why? He wanted to bring a spirit of fear into the church. And not long he was going to say, so-and-so is a witch. Imagine I've been with a sister for 30 years and later I'm afraid to eat her food because some rascal from nowhere with a known background calls her a witch. No, sir. If she's our witch, she never bewitched her for 30 years. We will remain with her for the next 30 years. The same power that protected us will protect us as we move forward. This one I need to crush the spirit of witches. Because believers are believers by night, by day, by night they are there by the sangom. Your sangoma will bewitch you. Amen. Because we are closing, I can share with this. Don't even pretend that you have never been to the gospel. The gospel found us very far. Amen. Don't even pretend like you were not there. It called us from there. Amen. Some years back, our grandmother, before she knew the faith, we had an uncle that developed a growth. And the face was swollen. Immediately, it was concluded that he was bewitched. Only to find later on, when we were civilized, that it was cancer. You see, a witch doesn't know cancer. It's just witchcraft. Now, there is a reason why, because I want to break the spirit of fear. Now, they took us somewhere to a certain man who was a witch doctor, a certain woman that was a witch doctor. After they consulted with that woman, then she requested that she needed a sheep to be bought. And then on the sheep, she needed the liver of the sheep. Now, we bought the sheep, took it there. In my mind, when the sheep, because it was a very fat sheep, I'm thinking that, whoa, this woman only needs a liver. That means the rest of the sheep is for us. We took it there. And later on, when I inquired what happened to the sheep, they said, no, we don't live with it. She takes the whole thing. But I said, but she needed a liver. We could have given a liver and taken the sheep. Then right there, as a very small boy, I said, the family of this woman is going to enjoy the meat while we will enjoy spinach. Then that's when I realized there is no common sense in this. These people are unscrupulous. They are robbing people of their money. A witch doctor, his children never passes, but he says he will make you pass. Oh, have you ever seen breaking news? UC Two graduates, the top in the country, is the son of a sangoma. Never. People don't use common sense. You know why? Because the moment fear grips you, you even suspend logic. You can't calculate 1 + 1. You are easily robbed. Are you still here? And now the whole place is littered with people. If they meet you in town, they just say, hey, Wesley, how are you? Your mom's feet are swollen. I mean, at your age, chances of your mom's feet being swollen is high. Yeah. Then immediately you start shaking and say, this man has got nothing. He's got nothing. He's capitalizing on your foolishness. Yeah. But when you are a believer, when somebody tells you that, you say, sir, she may be sick, but we've got a remedy. There is divine healing. I don't need you. I've got Jesus Christ will heal my mother or my father. Amen. 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 Walk unconscious of fear. Amen. Walk unconscious of criticism. Walk unconscious unto the world. Walk as you walk in Christ. Walk with him. Not paying any attention, the right or left hand. Just keep on moving. If something comes up in the church, walk with God. If sickness strikes you, walk with God. If the neighbors don't like you, walk with God. You just keep on walking. If they hate you, walk. If they criticize you, walk. If you are sick, walk. I walk with him. Yes. I'm conscious of certain things and say, look, I don't operate in that realm. I'm not affected by things that happen in that realm. I'm in a higher realm. Yes. That's a cheap statement from a cheap person. A believer of the message, Bok Tagat. Hey, that one I've got a problem with it. Amen. And every time I hear a minister trying to preach witchcraft, I switch off, no matter where I go. Say, ah, this one, this gospel is not for me. Amen. The message, the proof of his resurrection, paragraph 120. He says, may I say this to you people today who have never received the Holy Spirit, because what brings fear is lack of Holy Spirit. When you are fearful, I've seen, especially with African people, they don't just believe in being laid hands upon and live. You've got to give them something. They believe that thing will protect them. Meanwhile, they will be protecting the thing. May I say this to you people today who have never received the Holy Spirit? I realize in the church realms, we've got a lot of mockery. We've got a lot that pretend to have the Holy Spirit when they don't have it. That's right. Have you got in your realms over there to claim to be church members and they are not? That's right. So where there is a pro, there is a con. Remember that where there is a negative, there is a positive. Where there is a bogus dollar, there is a real one. Where there is somebody mocking and pretending to have the Holy Spirit, there is a genuine Holy Spirit. Remember that. And the very thing, this is the Holy Spirit, the very thing that will help you, the very thing that will deliver you, the thing that will take you out of your prison house of habit, take you out of your prison houses of fear and upset, the thing that will take away you away from the cancer and make a living creature again, the thing that will raise you up in the last days stands right near you, and you are scared of it. Don't be afraid. It's him. Are you still with me? That's the Holy Spirit. When it is the Holy Spirit, him, the Holy Spirit, when he is in you, he protects you. All the times. In every situation, the Holy Spirit is there protecting you. Guiding you. Are you still with me? Brother, bring question and answers, paragraph 634. Oh, if the great holy church only realized its power to do these things, but there is so much doubt and fear and trembling, wondering if it will, could it happen? As long as that exists, the church can never stand upright. As long as there is fear and trembling and doubt within the church of God, the church of God will never stand upright. They will never stand with boldness. And when every talk of fear is vanished, and the Holy Spirit is completely in control of the church, then all fears are gone. And that church has the power. Are you saying? We want you to come here, Barcelona, and not be burdened by any worry, by any fear, by any concern, by any anxiety. You know that the Holy Spirit is in charge. Are you still with me? At night when you are sleeping, we want you to sleep like a baby. It's time for you to rest. And you need to rest. Because somebody watches over you. Are you still with me? You need not to worry. And later on, because the fear, when it works on you, fear produces its own reality. The things that you fear, you're going to see them. Are you still with me? Why? They have everything that heaven owns behind them.
Amen.
Brethren, you have everything that heaven owns.
Amen.
I cannot have everything that heaven owns and be scared of a witch. Come on, Brother Mafagaza. Brother Brown said God will bankrupt the heavens before he allows his word to fail. But while being backed up by heaven, I'm going to be afraid of somebody that was born and will die. Never. Not me by a long shot. When you know who backs you up, brethren, you know, when you know who backs you up, have you ever seen when people know who they are, that's why they will ask you, do you know who I am? They're trying to provoke a sense of recognition. Maybe you think I'm like everybody else. Do you know who I am? And somebody will nudge you and say, hey, this man is very big. The church needs to confront demons and say, do you know?
Yes.
Brethren, are you here, mothers?
Yes.
The demon can cause a havoc there, but not in your address.
Yes.
You need to have a conversation with a demon and say, do you know who I am?
Yes.
Do you know? Not the church where I go to, not the pastor that I have.
Yes.
Do you know who I am? Right at this point in time, do you know who I am? We are looking for people that can confront demons and remind demons who they are. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Do you recognize my position? Brother, if you are armed with AK-47 and somebody just comes and pushes you, You become very worried for them. Sometimes you will even get somebody and say, explain to this man the danger that he's in.
Oh, yes.
Why? Because you realize what you possess. Hey, brethren, anytime a child of God is being troubled by an individual, I shiver. Because I don't know what is going to be next. Are you still with me? And believers are so humble. You can undermine them. You can talk down to them. But when you realize that they've got the power to bring life and to bring death. Are you here? A believer's voice has got creative power. I was somewhere and saw a brother being mistreated by certain gentlemen, and they were looking very arrogant. I almost wish that I could have followed them and said, do you see that man? His shoe may be not as polished as you think they should be. His attire may not be as presentable as it should be, but I am here warning you.
Yes.
You are playing with fire.
Yes.
Because whatever that man can wish in his heart and say it with his mouth, it will happen. And God forbid he will say the wrong thing over your life. A child of God is dangerous. But the problem, they are being undermined. Amen. Brother Bram said, they have everything that heaven owns behind them. As we move into 2021, people are even afraid to make New Year's resolutions because 2020 has shown them flames. Pastors that used to say it will be your year, they are jittery. Are you with me? But me, I'm going to be daring. 2021 is our year. You can put me on social network and they might say Bushiri has multiplied. I'm not Bushiri. Even in the midst of the trials, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of darkness, you will shine. Are you here, church? I understand what I'm talking about. I don't say there will not be difficulty, but you are equipped. Oh, this makes me feel good. So, you cannot approach the future with being jittery. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know whether I'm going to make it. No! You are worshiping the one that paves the way. You are worshiping the one that holds the future. You are worshiping the one that will protect you even for the trouble that is yet to come. You are worshiping the one that will heal you even for the diseases that you have not yet suffered from. You are worshiping the one that will raise you from the dead even if you die. Therefore, we are afraid of nothing. Go and possess the gates of thy enemies. I said, go and possess the gates of thy enemies. You are a possessor. You are a possessor. Whether Satan is at a certain gate, possess it. Whatever giants that are there, possess it. And I say, all is going to be right. I say, all is going to be right. Everything will fall play into its place. I am not worried about anything. When the devil comes like a flood, God will raise a standard. And I believe he came like a flood in 2020, God raised the standard. And if he will come like a flood in 21, God will raise a standard. And despite all, we are still standing. I say, despite all, we are still standing. Then I want you to approach it with boldness. Say, all right. Lord, you're going to give me another year. I'm even going to do better. I'm even going to be doing better. Amen. Amen. Even if you're at your company, they say, don't come back next year. Don't worry. You are coming back to some job. To some job, you are coming back to it. Folks, we are not orphans. We worship the Heavenly Father. We worship Melchizedek, the possessor of all things. Oh, brother, there is an economy, a heavenly economy. It has no recession. It has no issues. It is a provider 365 days. Amen. Did you see Satan is trying to scare us about 2021? Even our brothers say, be careful. Careful of what? Nothing. Yeah, we still are standing. Amen. By grace. Amen. Amen. And as the year, as we wind up the year, pause and count your blessings. Amen. One by one. Not in 2019, this rough year, count your blessings and say, January, this is what happened. This is February, this is what happened. During the lockdown, this is what happened. During this is what happened. Lord, I thank you. You were there throughout the year. Then it will re-energize you to go into 2021. Imagine if you meet David, discouraged, and say, Brother David, but I heard you killed the lion. How did it happen? And as he's thinking, then his faith is being reinvigorated. I say, Brother, I remember. I thought it was impossible, but I remember. There was just a surge of energy that consumed me, and I ran towards it and ripped it apart. You live in Mori, energized for the bear. And if you meet him discouraged after the bear, you remind him of how he defeated the bear, then he will go to Goliath. So I'm saying, in your life in 2020, there was a lion that you defeated. There was a bear that you defeated. There is a Goliath that you defeated. Look at what happened and know what will happen in the future. He says, they have everything that heaven owns behind them. They are the ambassadors of the throne. Ambassador of a throne. That means the same power that a throne has, you have. Brother, Kim Muswati, as the monarch of Swaziland, can't send me to a place and I behave ordinary. Brother, if a monarch, even if the president was to send you somewhere and say, go there and represent us. Brother, and he says, whatever you need, you get it.
Yes,
I am behind you.
Yes,
are you going to rock up there on a donkey and looking for the back door to come in and say you are humbled? You will ask the president and say, this is a very important task, president. May I have the bodyguards? As a start. And while you are there, there are these men with sunglasses, with an earpiece running, and they are all over you. Then you look at this, you feel what? Important. Ah, brother, if the president say, I give you bodyguards, you don't say no. You'll even come with them at church and say, wait me there by the gate. After church, brother, the brother wants to call and say, brother, I'm in a hurry. My bodyguards are waiting. I have heard the first thing that is traumatic when they recall a government minister in South Africa is the withdrawal of the blue light.
Yes.
When they drive their cars, they're surrounded. It makes them feel important. But look, if a government minister can feel so good about being guarded by a bodyguard who's a drunkard, you, the scripture says, the angels of the Lord are encamped around those who fear his name. Isn't it about time you tell a demon, wait a minute, Gabriel is outside? Wait a minute, Michael is outside. Wait a minute, the angels are outside. I'm not ordinary. Brother Bram says, right now in church, the angels of God are going up and down. The bodyguards of heaven. And you can tell one bodyguard, sort it out.
Amen.
Now, an ambassador of Christ has the authority. Folks, let me tell you something. Have you ever met people that don't have much in life but have authority? Going to the rural areas, in Makai, there is just this uncle. He has nothing. He has done nothing. But when he walks in, everybody updates him. This is what we have done. And you wonder, but this man, where does he get to this authority? Authority is not a matter of what you have. It's a matter of attitude. How you walk, how you talk, how you conduct yourself, you make people. I'm not taking arrogance. I'm taking, you know, arrogance is loud, but authority is silent, but it's heavy. Are you with me? An ambassador of Christ has the authority. And everything that Christ owns belongs to that ambassador. Now, if you are in an environment where you know you have authority, but it is not visible, and maybe you are being undermined, people have their way of expressing their authority around the place. If you walk into a place and you don't know who owns the place, and maybe you undermine the one that owns the place, they may just turn around and call somebody and say, "Hey, have you done it? If not, I will fire you." Then you realize that, oh, okay, this is where power resides. It's like a woman of a man that is successful being undermined. You will know. If a wife is a husband of a notable man, you will feel it. Especially if you dare undermine her. She'll just open her purse and take out the car keys. Then you look at the car. Takes out the phone, and on the phone she has a discussion about, you know, sisters. to make people feel that, no. Yeah. Or if maybe she comes to buy, I'm still trying to train my wife on that one. If we walk into a shop, and we see, you know, when you do window shopping, sometimes you end up in wrong places. I think it was last week we ended up in a wrong shop, and I picked up the shoe. I saw the price. I immediately had internal bleeding. Then obviously I want to be in control because this guy is watching me. I don't want him to see that I'm shocked. Because if I look shocked, he would know that, brother, what are you doing here? Now my wife is coming and I want to signal to my wife that, hey, Ziyabuyala. But don't show off that we are at the wrong place. So I think when my wife came through, there was a small price displayed somewhere. As she's going past, then she saw the price. I just say, ooh. Then I say, what? She says, I have a lump in my throat. Then I say, please behave. Then we walked out with our dignity intact. Amen. You see, brethren, when you get there, you don't get shocked, and your wife gets shocked, and you even shock people. What are you doing? No. Amen. But imagine if my wife can afford that, or maybe I can afford that, and she comes into a shop, and the sales assistant sees her. You know. They normally can know whether you can afford something by the way you walk. Yes, sir. Amen. And when you walk in and they look at you and they say, we don't have a safe, then you know that there's a problem. Because some are not trained. Some are not trained. There's somewhere I'm going. You walk in, they say there is no safe. We think you can afford the one down in that store. Imagine if you afford, even if you had not planned to buy, you're going to say, give me that. My husband will sort it out. And the sales assistant will come there and look at the price and really wonder, maybe the husband will say, I'm still going to go and come back. And the husband just comes and say, here is a card. And he swipes. And even the sales assistant is looking at the machine waiting for decline. Then it comes, say, approved. Then he looks at you and say, this woman's husband is powerful. Then they respect you, isn't so? Now, you, I'm talking about natural here. How much more? Because you are the husband. You are the wife of the husband of the husbands. In daughter, pagati kama daughter. The Lord Jesus Christ. Then it means you walk, brother motherfuckers, into a hospital. They say, this person is sick. You say, wait a minute. My husband can sort it out. You will go somewhere, somebody is crippled. My husband can sort it out. Do you believe that your husband can sort out every situation? Come on, brethren. Maybe I've used a world's example. Maybe you don't get it. Have you ever seen a woman who her husband can afford everything? Have you ever seen their attitude? Their conduct, how they talk. They are so sure of themselves. They don't talk and be apologetic. You feel that you are lazy boy. Are you with me? But then why you, being the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ, you walk, they speak about witches, you cry with them. Why don't you say, brethren, these ones are not at our level. We don't cry about these things. My husband does not sleep. My husband watches over me all night. Are you married to Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Says, and everything that Christ owns belongs to that ambassador. He said, go ye into all the world. You are my witnesses after the Holy Ghost has come unto you. What is a witness? Is an ambassador. Is to come and witness something. The whole powers of heaven is right in your hands. Why do we say it? The church is barren and we sit dormant is because that we don't recognize these things. We don't recognize these things. Are you still with me? When you are an ambassador, you possess the same power as the government that has sent you to be the ambassador thereof. So you've got to be sure about what you are talking about. Now in the message, the great and mighty conqueror, paragraph 78, he was in prayer after he preached this message. It says, blessed Heavenly Father, 45 minutes has passed. The word has gone forth. Our hearts are happy. The jubilee is on, not just a jubilee for one day, but a jubilee for eternity. In glory, the angels are singing. Oh God, the church, triumph is singing. The joy bells are ringing. Souls that were once condemned to death and to die and go to the devil's grave, the devil has been conquered. Folks, let me say this. You are not fighting Satan. You are enforcing his defeat. We are not in a battle to see if the devil will win. No, he has been conquered. All you've got to do every morning is to step on his neck and say, Satan, you belong right there. The devil has been conquered. Death has been conquered. Oh, what worst thing can happen to a believer? I mean, with all, whatever it is in the Satan's arsenal, I think death is the last one that he says, I will kill you. But tell him that death has been conquered. Sickness has been conquered. The grave has been conquered. Superstition has been conquered. Here I'm going to pause. Superstition has been conquered. You cannot be a believer and be a victim or a prisoner of superstitions. You know what is a superstition? Superstition is things that is an illusion that you create that if something is like this, it means such and such is going to happen. Are you with me?
Amen.
For some reason, then by my place, I think we have killed almost 3 bets in the last 3 months. Now, a bet is a very ugly creature. The moment you see a bet, you think tagat. But when I saw, a bet looks dumb in a light. It looks very lost. It's very easy to kill that thing. We have killed 3. So I was wondering, when did bets start coming here? Then obviously I went to Mr. Google to ask what could be attracting bets here and just to check. But when I was checking, I said, had it been another message believer, would have said, even Brother Bram says some demons are in the spirit of a bet. So this bet, it means 1, 2, 3. So I said, look, even if that is the case, but why every time I see it, I kill it? So that means if it's a demon, it's a very weak demon that I can kill. Whenever I see, I kill. Are you with me? So I can't spend time worrying about that. But you know, had it been somebody, it was going to be a big issue. Brother, come, we need to have an all-night prayer. The bets are there. Brother, I don't solve the devil by all-night prayer. I solve the devil by my identity. I'm a child of God. Are you with me? Before bets, it used to be snakes. We used to see one, we saw it in the garage, and I had a very good neighbor. Every time I saw a snake, he said, I must call him. I would sit and call him and say, hey, there is a snake here, Steve. He comes, puts it they just catch it. You know, when a white man deals with a snake, that's when you realize that a black man, before he takes a white man, he must be careful. They're not afraid to die. They do, but is it bungee what? Jumping? How many black people? I saw a video of a man, they wanted to do a bungee jumping. He said, no, I don't want to go. If you can just swing and come back. Oh. Even women were doing better bungee jumping than that guy. He sees the snake. He just comes with a stick and just pulls it in and put it into a sack, fold it, put it in his baki, goes into the wilderness, releases it. Amen. But you, if there is a snake in the garage, it's not just a snake. It becomes an old woman. Was Ogogo? Didn't greet us. Now watch. Catch it and release it. No, it will be killed and burnt with fire.
Oh, yes.
See. Even in my, when it is burning, if tomorrow they can say the old woman didn't wake up well. Yes! That was her. A message, believe. Reducing, elevating a snake to be an old woman. But not white people. Brother Philip, he took sister, we need to, is it Komati Port? Next to the border of Mozambique. He says he went into the restroom while he's sitting down. He feels like there is something sprinkling water on his back. When he turns around, he finds a Mozambican cobra. Then he goes, he tells the people that there in that restroom, there is a Mozambican cobra. They come and catch it and took it away. He says then, the very same night, he's in the room, he's there lying on the bed, he sees another one in the room. Then somewhat he makes an excuse for sister, we need to leave the room. Then he goes to get them and say, another one in the room. They catch it. He still sleeps in the same room. He only tells Sister Winnie when they are on their way back home. Ah. If it was us, the brother would have come into the office. Pastor, it's still even itchy. That thing, the way it sprinkled me. Ah, brother, let's have prayer. Next week, a visiting minister comes to preach, calls visiting minister, said, you know, there was a time where something sprinkled at me, and it was two of them. Fear. Come on, believers, you know what I'm talking about. Superstitions. You know, it's difficult even to live with a person that has got superstition. You know, there are some people that you are afraid to buy them a gift because that gift can be misinterpreted. Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, why did she buy me a black shirt? Was there no a white shirt? I'm preaching it. Believers. Well, if the buyer thought this is a black shirt, it will suit, it is dignified, it means superiority or sophistication, because that's what black means. But when it reaches the person, black means evil. He's wishing something bad to happen to us. And now, he comes to the pastor who's got no revelation to tell the pastor, says, yes, be careful. Believe us. Superstitions. Have you been exposed to these things that I'm talking about? There's, you know, there is noise at night on the roof around 2. I don't sleep. Superstition is the devil's weapon. And what amazes me in the message, you know how superstition became rife in the message? It's because, I think Mama Suma, you would remember, in the 80s, we had at the pastors, I think it was Pudi and Sesheo, when they were delivering wishes. During the 80s, then they started having, Pentecostal started having devil worshippers that they said were saved and were coming to testify. Yeah. Yes. And they would be given the microphones and say, yes, this is what used to happen when I was a devil worshipper. We used to go down and the devil will tell us this is what to do. We used to cause accidents and people and drink blood. You remember, 80s. Yeah. Now, message believers went back to adopt yesteryear testimonies of Pentecostals. If I ever baptized a devil worshipper in this church and she says she wants to testify, I would say, young girl, listen. These people know the devil more than you know. You are a devil worshipper. I don't do it. But they know Satan more than you know. So come and sit down that they can teach you who's the devil. I mean, for me, the other time I met one devil worshipper, the first thing I said, who is the prophet of the age? Yeah. Oh, the devil worshipper, I didn't know. I said, if the devil never told you this, it means you were never in contact with him. Because that's the first person that he should have told you about that. There are people upon the face of the earth. They believe the message of the hour. They're the bride of Jesus Christ. They've returned back to the original way. If you don't know that, then you are not a devil worshiper. We come, put the devil worshiper here, and then he starts telling us about how a hair piece you go down, and this nonsense. Not in this church. Not in this church. Do you know what I'm talking about? Then the whole church is gripped by fear. A girl that is 16 years old has become a mini prophet in the church. Every time he comes, he sees you wearing, say, I saw this when I was down there. Nonsense! Not in this church. The only one that preached us, souls that are in prison. William Branham, he told us everything that we needed to know. They say, down there, there is a bank. Huh? I was in Zimbabwe, and I'm glad Pastor Chitini said, he heard about some of them that were giving testimony somewhere. He says, that's nonsense. Why should such things be said in the message church? Because in Zimbabwe, it was three young girls that got converted into the message. Now, every Sunday, they are the ones taking the mic. They must tell them what happened. If we give a devil worshiper to tell us what they used to do, why can't we give the prostitute to tell us what they used to do then? Why can't we give the drunkard? Why the drunkard we say, sit down there, forget about it, it's a past life, you are forgiven, we move forward. Huh? Well, then why these ones we bring them and want to make them like we didn't have experience before they came? Me, the last thing that you can really, really try, you want to shock me is to say, she was a devil worshiper. I will look at you, Sabra. And you still want a devil worshiper still putting, what do you call it? Eyelashes. The painting of the lashes. What do you call them? Twist. Eyebrows. What do you put here that looks like it makes them look like cats? Yeah? Well, what is it? Highline. You see, the message has made us to save money. We don't even know what is mascara. She still has her mascara on, looking like a cat. And she says, I want to teach you, we are devil worshippers causing an accident. We that are message believers, we say she still looks like hell. Because that's how Brother Branham saw them when she went down there. They looked like cats, and they were busy making that funny sound. So you are still looking like that. Brothers, where superstition has been conquered. Amen. Sisters, if you run out of salt at night, go and buy salt. Amen. You can't eat meat that does not have salt because your grandmother once told you that if you eat, go and buy salt after night, this was going to be nonsense. Those are fairy tales. Me, I even like to know what are the superstitions so that I can break them. I like the cat, black cat that goes before me. That one, I like it. Say, it is going somewhere. But brothers, you find that they even want to cause an accident. Ooh, let me reverse because it went. Come on. Friday the 13th, you know? It's going to be bad. But I saw believers being promoted on Friday the 13th. Yes, believers say, sealing business deals on Friday the 13th. They wake up and say, we had prayer, it's going to be a good day. While you are hiding and say, hey, it's going to be bad. And because you are jittery and anxious, you end up causing an accident. You say, I knew it. You called it upon yourself. Job said, all that I ever feared finally came to me. Amen.
Amen. Malice has been conquered. Hatred has been conquered. Indifference has been conquered. Stashiness has been conquered. Self-styles has been conquered. Everything has been conquered. Christ is the great conqueror. Amen. Fear has been conquered.
Amen.
Amen. So, all the best till we see you in 2021. God bless you richly. When you meet Satan, tell him it's going to be a good year.
Amen.
The right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will make it come to pass.
Amen.
And as we have said during the first wave, we said it to the Lord, we are not preparing for any funeral. And even during the second wave, there shall not be any funeral.
Amen.
We will return all of us intact.
Yes.
By God's grace. Do you believe that? Those that are traveling, save traveling mercy. Don't worry about nothing. Walk unconscious of fear.
Amen.
As we stand to our feet. Namhlankosi siyamangala uma sibheka emuva. When we look back at 2020, Hallelujah. How many agree with the song? How many say it was by grace? Grace has brought us until this far. And grace will take us further. There's one that says, Umusa wathi, no. Ngempilo yami. Amen. How many people in the building who the devil has ever had an attempt on their lives? Where you know that they are almost went. But mercy said no. Not another man of God. Mercy said no. The mercy of God. What's it? How many witnesses are here? Thank you. Amen. How many whose lives resonate with this song? Macy said no. Amen. Nwele, nwele. As we wrap up in prayer. Amen. If Satan says it has been a bad year, tell him it has been a good year. Yes, it may have been tough, but refuse to say it has been a bad year. Lessons that were learned in 2020 can help even the next generation if there were to be one. We have learned resiliency. We have learned, we have managed to harness our faith. We have seen how valuable fellowship is. We have seen how important a family is. We have come to appreciate how imperative being healthy is. There's a lot that we have learned in 2020. They may not be material, they may be invaluable lessons, but we have learned so much to take us into 2021. Some of you, you were tested to the core of your being and never thought you would pull through, but here you are still standing. That is a testament of the level of your resiliency and as well as the capacity of your faith. And maybe you need to say, Lord, thank you for making me stronger. Thank you for making me stand the way I stood, because it really augurs very well for your testimony and my testimony. It gives me credibility to tell believers and unbelievers that my God is alive. There is so much that we have gleaned in 2020. As we are going into 2021, we say another year closer to the rapture, another year closer to the resurrection, and we are getting into it prepared. And if the Lord tarries, it will still be the very best of the very best years for our children, for our families, and we as an assembly as well. So all the best until we see you. Amen. We'll be praying for you. We'll be missing you, but we'll see you. Amen. Let's just say, Nwele, Nwele. You're just going to pray after me once we come to the end of the song, and you'll repeat after me as we say our last prayer for the year. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. With our heads bowed, Brother, let's see if we can keep the door closed. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's just say a prayer. We'll repeat after me. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. As we come to the end of the year and reflect on the year, we want to thank you for your protection. We want to thank you for providing for us. Yes, it was a difficult year. But you were there throughout. And for that, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for every blessing that you gave us. The greatest blessing was life itself. You were there to protect us. And Lord, there were many times where we were uncertain. There's one thing that we were certain of. You will never forsake us. Because you made a promise. You will be with us. Even in us. Until the end. As we move into 2021. We don't know what it holds. But we know you hold it, Lord. And Lord, we know you've got great plans for us. We submit ourselves to you. Continue to protect us. Protect our families. Protect our children. And protect the fellow believers who will be on various roads. May you be the one that will drive their cars until they reach their destination. We are looking forward to the reunion in the new year without any bad report, without any negativity from Satan. And we'll rejoice again when we meet in the new year. We commit our plans. We commit our wishes. We commit our goals to you, dear God. May you undertake for us all these things. We ask them, believing in the greatest name that was ever given to the human race. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you, Richmond. Till we meet, have a safe traveling mercy, and then enjoy your holidays. Those that are leaving the country, all the best as well. Pass our regards to your families, and let's continue to pray for one another. Don't forget, we are still on. We were halted with the building project, but we believe in the new year. It's something that we will put on storage. Make sure that we accelerate the process so that the expansion program is wrapped up quickly. Amen. We just delayed by the municipality, but I believe that in the new year, we should be able to have a church dedication in 2021. Amen. How many believe that?
Amen.
Amen. The whole structures that you see on the yard will be demolished. There will be a new structure. So you will walk into a new building. Amen. I'm looking forward to that time of building dedication. Amen. Give us a song till we meet. God bless you richly. Don't be surprised if our close and wrangled
We didn't have power, but we said without power we are going to church.
Amen.
Ringle or unringle, we are there. I see the Masango family were communicating, they are our neighbors. They as well didn't have power, but they said we don't have the power as far as electricity is concerned, but the power to go to church, that one we've got it galore.
Amen.
Amen. Never miss church because there is no power. I wasn't in church because there's no power. That sounds wrong. Amen. God bless you. Give us a song till we meet. Amen.